Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
I invite your attention to Philippians. I invite your attention to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, the epistle of Paul to the church in Philippi. My text will be found in verse number 10. In those five words, that I may know him. And God willing, we will consider the subject tonight of the saints' desire for knowledge of Christ. But let me begin reading in verse number 1. Paul writes, finally. Yes, he wrote finally, and then he went for two more chapters. He was halfway in this epistle and said, finally, and I'm so glad he found so much more to write about. What he here writes about is very much a blessing. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Well, there is not much else in which to rejoice, is there? You rejoice in your job. You may not have it tomorrow. Rejoice in your career, your house. Houses burn down. What is there to rejoice in this world? In the Lord. In the Lord is a steadfast rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord, Paul writes. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. But do this, beware of dogs, the two-legged variety. Beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation or concision. Paul here writes of the Judaizers. They were of the sect of the Pharisees, pretending to be Christians, and telling believers in Christ that they had to be circumcised. Paul said, it's not circumcision, it's mutilation, it's concision, it's just avoid it. They're dogs walking on 2 feet, they're evil workers, and beware of them, have nothing to do with them. Because we are the circumcision. Who are we? We who worship God in the Spirit rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Those three marks of the circumcision. Worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Paul is here. We may say he's kind of issuing a challenge. Do you know of someone who's got confidence in the flesh? Bring him on. I'm the yardstick by which the confidence in the flesh is measured. I'm the ruler. Measuring by me. What was I? Circumcised the 8th day. And I am of the stock of Israel, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. One of the smallest of the tribes, but one of the most significant. Paul says, I'm a Benjamite. Benjamites, it is said, could fight you as well with the left hand as it could with the right. I'm a Benjamite. And I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You want to know what a Hebrew is? Look at me, Saul of Tarsus would say. Concerning the law, I'm a Pharisee, the strictest sect of my people. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless. I'm as righteous as it can be. According to the flesh. According to the flesh. But what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as rubbish or dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Be found in Him. We hear some people talking about wanting to win souls. Paul wanted to win Christ. Win Christ. That's far more important. Oh, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is from God, received by faith. And then Paul says the words of my text, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Look at that phrase in verse 10, those five words, that I may know Him. That's the saints' desire for knowledge of Christ expressed in those words, that I may know Him. What is it to say that I may know Him? I can give you an illustration. It's not mine. I read it from Charles Spurgeon. It's rather lengthy, but I believe I can paraphrase and summarize what he said. It helped me to understand something of what it is to want to know Christ. But imagine for a moment that you're in the days of the Roman Empire. You have been captured and taken from your homeland. You've been taken to Rome and made a slave. Today, you will be sport for a tyrant. You have been brought into the amphitheater. You are to be fed to the lion, or at least you are to battle the lion, in order that the tyrant may have sport. People have come to see your blood flow. And there you are, in the middle of the amphitheater. And the huge gate raises yonder, and out steps that king of the beasts, that lion. He's not been fed for days. He's hungry. He sees his meal in front of him. The lion looks around. There are thousands of people in the stands, but there is a very high wall that prevents him from getting to them. But there is the next meal. It is me, there in the middle of the amphitheater. And the lion begins his lunge toward me. And what is this? Someone has come from the stands and scaled the wall. Someone runs and meets the lion before it can reach me. Someone grabs hold of the lion and engages it in the fight. Someone, stranger to me, has mortally wounded that lion, and the lion now has made its way back with its tail between its legs, back to which it came, and I am safe. And this one who has come to my defense, who has wounded the lion for me, has now taken me and held me up as though I am the victor. I've never seen him before. I have no idea who this is, but you can imagine the thought as if that is in my heart. Oh, that I may know him. Who is he? Who is he who has come to save me like this? And then he's gone. And some come and usher me to a house. They say it is his house. And there I am washed of my wounds. I am fed very sumptuously. I am given new clothing, a good-looking robe. I'm given a soft bed in which to sleep, and I sleep soundly. I awaken the next morning, and I am told that I am to be a guest in this house for some time, being fed sumptuously every day. When my clothing has worn out, a new robe is provided. All my needs are met. By whom, I wonder? The one who saved you. Who is he? Who is he? Oh, I want to know him, that I may know him. Who is he? Well, is it not enough to know that your needs are being met? No. I appreciate the fact that my needs are met, but I want to know him who made all this possible. Oh, that I may know him. Well, he has done this for many others as well, and right now he is preparing a mansion for you in glory. He's going to come and receive you so that where he is, you may be also. Is that not enough? No, I appreciate all that, but who is he? Who is he? Oh, that I may know him. Oh, that I may know him. Is that not our desire? Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know him. Paul, do you not know him? I do, but I want to know him. Paul, I do not understand this. You preach him, right? Yes, I preach him. You teach him, right? Yes, I teach him. Therefore, you know him, right? Yes, but oh, I want to know him. I want to know him. And that is the way that it is with the children of God. Oh, that I may know him. That I may know him. The saints' desire for knowledge of Christ has these three marks, and they are all found in our text. The saint desires personal knowledge of Christ. The saint desires progressive knowledge of Christ. And the saint desires experiential knowledge of Christ. Personal, progressive, and experiential. That I may know him. This is personal knowledge. There are two persons involved. Paul says that I may know him. Two persons involved. This is personal knowledge. First of all, consider the subject of this knowledge. Who is it who wants to know? It is the saint. The subject of this knowledge is the saint. Oh, that I may know him. A preacher many years ago, standing in line at a fast food restaurant, struck up a conversation with a man who was there in the line with him. And he asked him if he knew the Lord. And the other man says, yeah, I know the Lord. I'll have you know that my great-grandfather started such and such church up the road. My grandfather was the first deacon in the church. And my father is now the pastor of the church. Yes, I know the Lord. Yes, but sir, do you know the Lord? Oh, yes, I know the Lord. As I just told you, my great-grandfather started such and such church, and my grandfather was the first deacon in the church, and my father is now the pastor of that church, and yes, I know the Lord. Okay. This is not going very far, is it? A few days later, preacher comes back to the same place. This time the other man is sitting in a vehicle with a woman. And so the preacher walked up to the vehicle and said, I remember you. Yes, I remember you. We had a conversation here a few days ago. And the preacher looked at the woman sitting beside him, and then he looked at the man, and he says, I did not know you were married. No. I'm not married. This is my girlfriend. I'm not married. Oh, but you are married. No, sir, I am not married. This is my girlfriend. No, you're married. And the man is getting a little irate now. I am not married. What makes you think that I am married? Well, your great-grandfather was married, and your grandfather was married, and your father is married, and of course you're married. And you see, me, you are not married because your forefathers were in a culture where people are normally married. You do not know the Lord simply because someone in your family tree knew the Lord or was passed down from generation to generation. It is good that Silas knows the Lord. It is good that Peter knows the Lord. It is good that John knows the Lord. But Paul says, I want to know him. Oh, that I may know him. The object of this knowledge is Christ. That I, the subject, may know him, the object. The object of my knowledge, I want to be Christ. I want to know him. It is not enough to know about him. You may find in some college, in some school of higher learning in this big city of yours, you may find some people who have studied Jesus Christ. You may find some people who know more about the so-called historical Jesus than you do. You may meet some people who can tell you more about the miracles he performed, maybe, you know, and you might even find some who've written commentaries on him, and they can tell you all kinds of things about Jesus Christ. But Paul did not say, I want to know about him. It is not enough to know that he did miracles. It is not enough to know that he was a good teacher. It is not enough to know what he taught. It is not enough to know what he preached. It is not enough to know about the miracles he performed. All that is worthless if you do not know him. Oh, that I may know him. I want to know him. I want to know the one that saved me. I want to know who is this one who killed the lion for me, delivered me from the lion. Who is this one who stepped and took my place instead? Who is this one who feeds me and clothes me and protects me? I want to know him. The saint desires personal knowledge of Christ. The saint desires also progressive knowledge of Christ. Progressive knowledge of Christ. Paul says, oh, that I may know him. You see the progression? Paul wanted to know more about Jesus than he already knew. Oh, that I may know him. With me tonight is my beloved Sandra. We were introduced in 1974, June. And it was May or June. Anyway, spring, about this time of the year, 1974. All I knew was her name, and I knew that she was coming with a young lady who was coming to my brother's graduation from seminary. And this young lady coming to my brother's graduation was bringing a friend with her. Her name was Sandra, and Sandra and I were supposed to be introduced to each other. Even Sandra did not know. I was told. And so, you know, if you said, you know, Sandy, we call it. Do you know who Sandy is? Yeah, she's the one coming with Becky, and I'm supposed to meet her. Yep, that's who she is. That's about all I knew. Then I met her. Okay, I know something else. She's a good-looking girl. And, you know, sweet. That's about all I knew. And then in the circumstance and in the providence of God, our paths crossed a little later, and I was smitten. I think I know her now. And let's see. We spent, she spent a week with my family during an ordeal in her life that happened, and my parents opened their house up to her. And let's see, I dated her on Tuesday night, took her to the worship service on Wednesday night, and we went out on Thursday night, and Friday night I asked her to marry me. I thought I knew her good enough to ask her to marry me. And, but I did tell her, go home and think about it. Make sure you know me. But, yeah, I knew her well enough. I wanted to marry her. I thought I knew her rather well. And then we got married, and then I began to learn who she is. And the more I learned, the better I like her. The better. And I want to know more and more about her. We have been together now, well, let's see, 1975, so you do the arithmetic. And I still find out things about her, even after all this time. And the more I know her, the more I want to know her. Oh, that I may know her. That's the way that we want to know Jesus Christ. It is a progressive knowledge. Do you remember when the Lord first saved you? Do you remember when you first heard of Him? Do you recall what, you know, what joy came to your heart when you were smitten by His love to you? Do you recall what it was to learn that He had saved you and provided for your justification and your sanctification and your redemption and even your glorification? Do you not want to know more and more and more about Him? Do you not want to do, as we read in the Scriptures, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I want to know Him more and more and more. Oh, that I may know Him. The more I know Him, the more I want to know Him. I long for the day when I shall know Him as He knows me. We shall know as we are known. I'm going to know Him like He knows me. Oh, that I may know Him. The more I know Him, the more I want to know. Is it that way with you? Is it that way with you? All right. The saint's desire for knowledge of Christ is personal knowledge, that I may know Him. The saint's desire for knowledge of Christ is progressive knowledge, that I may know Him. The saint's desire for knowledge of Christ is experiential knowledge. We know that from the word know, K-N-O-W. You see it in your text? There is a rule that usually applies in learning the meaning of a word in the Scriptures, in the New or even in the Old Testament. It is called the rule of first occurrence. If you want to know what a word means, quite often you'll find the meaning of a word in the first time that it appears in the Scripture. Now remember that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek. Paul wrote this in the Greek. And he writes that I may know Him. Interesting word here. The Greek word he used is gnosko. So let's find out what gnosko means, the word here translated know. The first time you'll find it is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. And there is a man named Joseph, and he is deeply, deeply troubled. He is betrothed and espoused to a girl named Mary. She is supposed to be a virgin. To the best of his knowledge, she is a virgin, but she is with child. And it is not his. And he knows it. Oh, Mary, 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 what have you done? What have you done? And while he ponders what he should do, an angel from God comes down and says, Joseph, do not fear. Do not fear. Mary is a virgin, and that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And your wife is going to give birth to Messiah. And when he's born, call his name Jesus. And Joseph said, I will. I will. His heart is relieved. And then we read that Joseph knew not Mary, his wife, until her firstborn was born. He did not know her. Joseph, do you know her? Yep, that's Mary. She's my betrothed. What else do you know? Well, she's from my village. She's got Messiah in her womb. So you know her? I have never known her. Joseph, do you know her? Yes, I know her, but I have never known her. It's not confusing, folks. It is the truth. Joseph did not know her. We speak of it as, in the biblical sense of the term, the marriage had not been consummated. They had not entered into that intimate, most intimate knowledge that husbands and wives have of each other. He knew her, but he had never known her. He had never known her until Jesus was born, and then he knew his wife intimately, most intimately. Oh, I want to know Jesus that way. I want to know Jesus that way. Intimately. Intimately know him. How do you know him intimately? Through the power of his resurrection, Paul writes. Knowing what it is to be justified. How do you know him intimately? Through the fellowship of his sufferings. You want to get to know somebody? Suffer with him. Endure the sufferings that she goes through. Yeah, you'll get to know someone that way. I want to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. There's fellowship in it. I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be conformed unto the image of his death. I want to know him. How do you know him intimately? Find him in here. Read the scriptures. Why, you'll never know much of Jesus if you never read about him. He is in here. Get under the sound of a gospel preacher. I hope maybe you've learned something tonight of Jesus. I hope this has not been a wasted effort here. I hope that we now know something of him. Know something of him in fellowship with him. Oh, that I may know him. I would like to know him most intimately. Most intimately. The dearest friend I have. the husband of his church, the lover of his people. I want to know him, Paul said. And that's what it is to know him. I want to know Jesus Christ like a husband knows his wife and a wife knows her husband most intimately. I want to be able to commune with him in the midnight hour as easily as I can in the noonday sun. I want to know him. Well, that's what it is to know Christ. Oh, that I may progressively, experientially know him. Let me forget everything else in this world, but let me know him. Let me know him. If you have never known him, may this be the night you learn to start. And if you start tonight, may you spend the rest of your life desiring to know him. Oh, that I may know him. May the Lord help us to do something.